Netflix drops a new documentary today. It's called Quincy, and it's about music industry legend Quincy Jones. He played with jazz greats and produced albums with Michael Jackson. But in his personal life, Jones drank too much, worked too much, often imperiling his health. Eric Deggans is NPR TV critic. He joins us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
So the director of this documentary is Quincy Jones's daughter, Rashida Jones. What does she bring to this by being a member of the family?
Well, she is, by dint of being his daughter, I think, number one, she understands him in a way that maybe other documentarians didn't. She understands the personal cost of being someone like Quincy Jones, who's done so many things and lived so many lives. She touches on it all, but she's also able to talk about the personal cost of it, including failed marriages, including the impact on his health. And we see in a clip him talking about, being out and partying and networking with people and then suddenly not feeling so well. So let's check it out.
I wonder what's wrong with my appetite, though. Something wrong.
Really, Dad?
Because you know me, I can eat.
I know, I don't like that.
Yeah, but it's okay. Sorry, it'll be all right with me.
No. If you don't feel good, you got to take care of it.
I will.
And then in the next scene, he's in the hospital. Hmm. So so you can see that there is a personal cost to doing as much as he does.
Now, Quincy Jones was born during the Great Depression on the south side of Chicago. His mother was admitted to a mental institution when he was young, and he was forced to work for local gangs, basically, as a child.
We fought, we stole, we ran with gangs and from gangs. By that time, I was carrying a knife and doing whatever I thought I had to do to survive. Why not? My world seemed to be senseless. If my mother could go crazy, who couldn't?
How does the documentary show how his early life affected his work?
The documentary constantly sort of returns to this idea. Later on, we see letters from his mother that are seriously critical about his career and the choices he's made. And you sort of see that when she was in his life, having her be unreasonably critical in a way that didn't make sense kind of shaped him and maybe made him such a driven person. Sometimes one of the drawbacks of having someone close to the subject make the documentary is that they're not willing to show the shortcomings.
Right.
They're not willing to show the warts. And, you know, there's a scene, there's a great little scene where Quincy's being interviewed by somebody and they say, "You've done so much, you know, what's the one thing that you'd like to do that you haven't been able to do?" And he said, "Stay married." Which is true. You know, I think he's been married something like 3 or 4 times. And when you see this rough upbringing, his driven workaholic attitudes, you understand why he had such a hard time staying married and why he had such a hard time maintaining a healthy personal life.
Eric, this is yet another offering from Netflix. They are really pouring so much money still into these new documentaries, shows, comedy specials, everything.
Yeah, well, you know, again, there's a sense that they're trying to create a TV ecosystem that subscribers can live in where they never have to go anywhere else to see something that they're interested in. And the benefits of that for fans of TV is that you get to see stuff that might not appear if they weren't being a patron of it. So their documentary slate, for example, the executive who's in charge of their documentaries is doing a great job of finding these films that are really interesting and insightful and then exposing them to a worldwide audience. So this can be quite a boon for a documentary like Quincy, where the subject is a worldwide celebrity, but a worldwide celebrity that people only kind of know the surface of. They only know the public Quincy. Here we get to see more of his private struggles, and we also see him at work. He puts together a great gala performance for the Smithsonian's African American History Museum to kick off this important and historical institution.
Eric, while we have you, I have to ask you about the Emmys. It was quite a show. I guess you and I were probably two of the five people who were watching it because it sounds like the ratings were not so great for the Emmys this year. However, the thing that made me kind of upset is that the Americans didn't win.
Dude.
Now, Game of Thrones is great too. I love Game of Thrones, but this was the year for the Americans. Now it was the year for them to win, don't you think?
Well, I think I've thought about this a fair amount because I've had to talk about the Emmys a bit. And, you know, my conclusion is that I think the professionals who make television who are part of the TV Academy look at what Game of Thrones achieves every time it comes out of the gate. They are doing not the equivalent of a blockbuster movie. They're doing the equivalent of like four or five blockbuster movies every season when they do that show. The level of effects, the level of costuming, the level of filming in remote locations. I think the professionals that work in the TV Academy see what an achievement it is to pull off a season of Game of Thrones every year. And as good as The Americans was, it is not that. You know, it's hard to compare the two. But it seems like the TV Academy loves Game of Thrones. I mean, every year they've been nominated for Best Drama, they've won it.
It's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thank you.
Always a pleasure.